Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that you can weigh in and let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on WKAR AM 870 by following me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR. Like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We want to hear what's on your mind. And of course, you know that you can give us a ring right here at the studio at Current Sports by calling 517-355-9527. And how have you been enjoying the show so far? I encourage all of the dedicated Current Sports listeners out there to let us know what you like, what you don't like, and pose some conversations that you would like to hear discussed right here on the show. Again, tweet me, Facebook me, email me, even call us. We are always open to what's on your mind. Well, boy, oh boy, do we have a show in store for you all today. Well, not only will we update you on all of the weekend action, but we have the pleasure of welcoming not one, but two unbelievable guests here on Current Sports, one of which will be a regular every Monday from here on out. Motivational speaker here at MSU, DeAndre Carter, will be joining us for Motivational Mondays. He'll be providing some inspiration for all of you as you begin your week each and every Monday here on the show, but doing it with a sports twist. Stick around because he will be coming up very soon. But to kick off the top of the hour, I invite a man who knows all about how the mind plays a critical role in the world of sports. He is a professor at Michigan State University in the field of applied sports psychology. It's my pleasure to welcome Professor Daniel Gould to Current Sports. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Truly a pleasure. So first of all, Dan, let's attack this thing from the root. For those out there who are listening right now to the show, what is sports psychology?
Yeah, it's a scientific study, really, of how mental factors influence an athlete's performance and also how participation in sport might influence a person mentally. For example, we might look at things like how your confidence or goal setting influences your foul shooting. Mm-hmm. But we also might look at if you're a good high school basketball player or a good tennis player, how does that impact your confidence, your ability to communicate, your teamwork, things of that nature.
So it's all about the psychological aspects and how they apply to the sporting world, right?
Yep, and there's two aspects. We study it scientifically, and then there's a big emphasis on how we can help people, the application.
Gotcha. Now, Dan, when you look at sports psychology and your involvement with it, how exactly did you get involved with sports psychology?
Yeah, I was going to school in was called different then, but basically kinesiology, the major we have here, mm-hmm. and I was going to be a coach and a teacher. And I was an athlete, and I ended up taking a sports psychology course, and I got very interested in it. Mm-hmm. I still thought I wanted to go on and coach and teach, and I was certified in that, but I found I was a little better at this, and I was really interested in it.
Right.
And I remember saying, well, I could coach for 40 years, and I think I'd really learn a lot, but if I studied 1,000 coaches for 40 years, I'd really learn a lot more. So that's kind of how I got in it.
True that. Very true, Dan. Now, for the students that you teach at Michigan State University who want to get involved with sports psychology, how did some of them get interested in this field?
Yeah, a lot of them have an athletic background somewhere. Either most have played high school sports, some college. Some are, intense sport fans. And there's no undergraduate major anywhere in sports psychology, but there's students who either major in psychology or kinesiology or exercise and sports science, mm-hmm. and then go on for graduate degrees. But often they can take, like we have undergraduate courses in sport and exercise psych for our majors,
right.
and students can take that.
And what's the general interest right now? You get a lot of students that want to go into this field?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good interest overall. There's a lot of students that are interested in it.
That's great. Now, when you look at sports psychology, when I think about this, like you said, the psychological aspect and how it deals with sports in general, when you look at that, Dan, does it just deal with the mind when you talk about that?
Well, we have a saying, the body has a head and the head has a body, so they influence each other. A good example, if you're really nervous and have uncontrollable thoughts, sometimes your heart rate goes up. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we know that if you exercise or we put you on a treadmill, sometimes biochemically things change, which change your attitude. They'll talk about the runner's high for, well-trained runners will go run and they'll feel better after. Or there's research to show people get a reduction in anxiety. So if you're all uptight in the morning and you go on a run in the afternoon, a lot of times your anxiety is reduced after that run.
Wow. So all those interesting aspects to it. So with you, I'm sure you've dealt with a lot of athletes over the years. Some of those athletes, when they come to you, I mean, what are some of those some of the more interesting concerns that you've helped athletes with?
Yeah, it runs a range. I think confidence is a lot of times, you know, I'm an athlete and I just not as confident as I want to be. Anxiety, I just got a call from some figure skaters the other day. They're not confident and they have anxious thoughts before they perform. And in that sport, they don't play week in, week out, so you don't have as many opportunities. Sometimes it's like teams, it might be how do we get all on the same page and find a common mission?
Right.
Goal setting. Trying to think of some of the unique ones I've had. I once worked with a NASCAR driver who,
did you?
Yeah, who had some issues out of the car, like a relationship issues, and couldn't concentrate in the car. So I was brought in to help him really learn how to concentrate at 185 miles going left.
So relationship issues, issues with women.
Yeah, in his case, he actually was going through a divorce that he didn't want.
Oh, wow.
So then, and actually it's important here that there's a couple kinds of sports psychologists, some that come through psychology, going to clinical psychology. They'll get licensed so they can treat emotional issues, you know, very abnormalities, eating disorders, depression, substance abuse. And then there's what I am as an educational sports psychologist that work with people in the normal and sometimes super normal range, but really don't have deep-seated emotional issues. It's more anxiety, goal setting, performance, productivity.
Right.
So it's pretty important that sometimes people realize there's both, because if you're very depressed, then you need to see the clinical licensed. The driver in this case was seeing clinicians and people for the out-of-car stuff. Mm-hmm. But he felt he had a drive at the time because he owned his own team and there's 50 people depending on him. But he's hopping in the car and he'd start getting like thoughts about his wife in the middle of a race.
Wow.
So I was brought in just to help him in the car.
Gotcha. So when you look at a situation like that, Dan, how did you go about helping him?
First thing we do is I went down and talked quite a bit to him. And actually, prior to that, I didn't have a lot of experience in racing. So I quickly started studying red racing. Actually, at the time, some of the games were just coming out which really simulates the different tracks and,
right,
you know, learn stuff like if tires sit out in the sun, they change the performance of the car and the times the pit crews need to go in. So I really tried to know a little context about the sport.
Okay.
First,
educate yourself on the sport.
Yeah, and realize you don't know much about it even though you've educated yourself.
Right.
And then I ask good questions, both to the driver, what's the situation, what happens, kind of do an assessment, and then try to find some things that can help.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here at Current Sports, we are talking with a man who knows all about how the mind plays a critical role in the world of sports, Daniel Gould. He's a professor of sports psychology at Michigan State University. Now, I know, Dan, when you talk about sports psychology, it comes into play a lot when you talk about injuries to athletes. Now, having the sound mind to overcome that injury, how do you go about helping the athlete trying to mentally overcome a strenuous injury? I mean, if you look at just a guy like Brandon Dawson, who plays for MSU's basketball team, who is tore his ACL, and he even told me once that, you know, he thinks about it a lot out there, and he kind of holds back a lot. You know, how do you go about helping injuries when you talk about psychology?
Yeah, really good question. First, I always tell the athlete, because we've studied injuries. We did a whole study about 15 years ago with the U.S. ski team, and the athletes will tell you, you'll probably blow your knee, ACL injury. They used to call it an occupational hazard, because
right.
if you're on the edge like they are, sometimes you make a mistake. First, we know people go through sort of a pattern of responses. So there's first sort of shock, then sort of
true.
Adjustment. You might get
right.
You might get mad at the world. Then you kind of have to come to terms with your injury.
Right.
Then it's sort of the rehab process, work through it. And there's, you know, in terms of goal setting and some stress management, in terms of reacting to the, you know, the result of being injured. And I often tell athletes being injured is abnormal to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And then mentally you're going to be a little off kilter. It doesn't mean you're crazy or anything, but you're going to be bummed out. And there's sort of a normal process you go through. And then you sort of have to rebuild and go through it. And so some of the things we do is like goal setting, which is interesting because an athlete might have gotten to where they are in their career, more is always better. Mm-hmm. But during rehab, sometimes more is only doing it a certain percentage and not pushing beyond that point.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, I see what you mean.
So it's different. And then there's some stress management. But then there's also, once they clear, our research showed us you can get physically cleared, but then there's a whole process of readapting. And you need to go out and play. And many athletes report your knee doesn't feel the same, for example.
Right.
And we found it helpful sometimes to pair them with an athlete who went through a similar injury a year before and kind of mentor them. And then, you know, there's always, you're cleared, you're getting to play again, but then you need to fall down once on the knee and be okay.
Right. Okay. So you need to have that experience of saying, okay, I just fell on the knee. Now I can trust it a little bit. Nothing bad happened.
Yeah. And so so that kind of supports through that whole process. And people come back and they do a good job. But, you know, I think helping them with confidence, a lot of times they'll do imagery while they're injured, maybe watching themselves play, because you do fall behind. Everybody else is still playing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you're 6 months off, you can do some things to sort of keep your head in the game.
Right.
And then maybe that, if you're keeping your head in the game by imagining yourself performing, watching old tapes, you're right. Not sitting there having a pity party.
Exactly. Because
you're busy.
And, you know, when you talk about that, and you gave an example of having someone who's gone through that injury sort of be a mentor to someone who's going through it and doesn't know how to deal with it. I mean, if you look at a guy like Adrian Peterson in NFL, a guy who, you know, totally blew out, you know, his knee, ACL injury, and to see him come back as strong as he did this past NFL season. I mean, when you talk about that, the mental aspect, and there's a video online if you look at Adrian Peterson. I mean, his whole mental standpoint is just so positive. I mean, talk about how important that is. And do you follow AP at all? And did you see how, I mean, mentally, how do you put yourself in his shoes and how do you attack an injury like that?
Well, everybody's different. You know, there's a lot of what we call individual differences. But I think sometimes really good athletes that kind of know how to prepare for things and are highly motivated and determined. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's transferring that to the injury situation. So I'm really adhering to my rehab. I'm really, you know, kind of eating right and doing the right thing. So in some ways it's reminding them that the skills that help them be a really good athlete can help them rehab.
Right.
And then the other is sometimes it's just support. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes we've done this with our study. We've studied a lot of Olympic gold medalists. People have this assumption they don't have negative thoughts. They have negative thoughts. They have lapses in confidence. They just deal with them a lot better than the rest of us.
Right.
And usually a lot quicker. So it's kind of would be preparing them. Yeah, you're going to be down some days, and here's what you need to do to, you know, it's okay to feel sorry for yourself. You just don't want to linger in it for a week.
Don't beat yourself up.
Yeah, or beat yourself up, but then get over it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it's sort of helping them cope and deal with it that way.
Gotcha. Now, Dan, I hear that when I was doing some research on sports psychology, there's an area called exercise psychology. Now, that, as evidenced by its name, relates to exercise, I assume. Now, can you explain a little bit by what exercise psychology is?
Yeah. In fact, the field now often referred to as sport and exercise psychology. With the obesity crisis and lack of physical activity,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of people studying what effect mental factors have on somebody's ability to exercise.
Right.
And what effect exercise has on people's psychological state.
Right.
So there's some studies now looking at children. And if they have recess and physical activity in recess, there's some initial studies show they cognitively function better when they come to class.
Oh, okay.
So you know, working the kids all day to hit the test scores, you know, it's important they study, but maybe having some physical education and physical activity actually helps them cognitively as mm-hmm. well as physically. We also talk, but, you know, a big one is we know there's a huge dropout rate. You know, there's like New Year's resolutions. People, you know, it sounded good on New Year's, but the next day.
Right.
So a lot of people are studying exercise adherence and how to get people to adhere to an exercise program. And some of that deals with goal setting, sometimes having like a buddy exercise with you, finding the right exercise for you, coming up with an exercise plan that's realistic for you. If you hate to run, then probably coming up with an exercise plan that involves running may not work.
Yeah, it's not going to work, yeah.
But maybe just forming a group of staff here at Michigan State, for example, they may walk together at noon, and maybe they wouldn't walk by themselves, but they look forward to the social aspect of walking. So it's kind of designing factors that help people stay motivated and hold their motivation.
Now, Dan, have you also worked with kids in this area as well?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the response been like? What's an example of you working with kids, and how did it turn out?
Both in the sport area and the exercise area. Usually in the exercise area, it's not so much one-on-one work, but you may work with a gym or with a physical educator on how to design programs that kids would like. We're doing a lot of work right now with the U.S. Tennis Association that's reinvented 10-and-under tennis. So they've gone now. If you go to a good program, they're playing on smaller courts, not the big court,
right?
With lower nets, with different kind of balls and equipment that's proportional.
Right. That, oh, okay.
That alone, the kids rally much quicker. And scoring in 10 and under now as you count to six.
So their confidence is going through the roof if they're playing like that.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
And actually, you said before, is a physical and mental separate. Well, that would be a good example. If you structure a program physically so kids have more enjoyment, they get success quicker, then they're going to be more motivated
right.
to go forward. Others, our department head, Al Smith, he's a very good researcher. He's got some grants now to design like early morning physical education for ADHD kids and in terms of the exercise helping them to control that condition.
Right.
So there's just a lot of things that can be done.
That is very interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining Current Sports, we are talking with Daniel Gould. He is a professor at Michigan State University in the field of sports psychology. Now, Dan, you have many, many accomplishments. One of the most notable ones happens to be back in 1999 when you were inducted into the National Association for Sport and Physical Education Hall of Fame. Quite an accomplishment. Now, how humbling was that moment for you, and what makes your work so recognizable and unique in your eyes?
Yeah, first, it's funny that whenever you get an award like that, I grew up in upstate New York in a small town, and I kind of like have to pinch myself.
Right. It's a great thing, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're really honors, and you really appreciate them, it feels pretty good. And it's nice but at the same time, I've kind of always done this work because I enjoy it. And, you know, I always try to tell my students, find something you're passionate about and then going to work isn't hard.
Right.
I think what distinguishes our work or my work, and it's really myself and a lot of the doctoral students I work with, we're really known for doing really good research on applied topics, but then knowing how to package it and work with people to implement it to really make a difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm here at Michigan State as the first land grant, and that's what we were started as, to look at practical problems scientifically and then come up with solutions that are really practically based. And I think what makes us unique is we'll do a really good scientific study, but then we won't overwhelm the person with statistics.
Mm-hmm.
A good example, when I do goal setting, I could give a lecture on goal setting, but a lot of times we'll interview athletes and do video clips who say the same principles we would, but it carries more weight in the real world because everybody wants to be the athlete.
Exactly. Very, very true. So, I mean, throughout your career, Dan, what would you say, was that the highlight of your career? What's been the highlight of your career so far?
Boy, that's a good question. Any award I get, it would be a highlight. I got an honorary doctoral degree from a European. Probably a lot of my students going on and being leaders in the field would be one. A lot of my doctoral students.
That's great.
We just came back from a workshop. We designed a program to, you know, I came out of wrestling, but a program to train all the collegiate wrestling coaches on leadership and CEO skills, because that's really what you are as a head coach now, and we designed that. And actually, I just got an award for that Saturday, and that was meaningful to me because it really is making a practical difference. So anything I can do that makes a practical difference is what kind of floats my boat.
It's what it's all about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dan, now, I got to ask, that kind of leads me. You talked about the future leaders in the field that you have kind of mentored and taught while at MSU and possibly before. What is the present status right now of sports psychology, and how popular is it when you talk about the ranks of college and professional sports?
Yeah, really good question. 30 years ago, it was new, and you could have, everybody said, well, I don't want to go see a shrink, and they'd have all these misperceptions.
Right.
Olympic Committee is a good barometer. 30 years ago, a few people were, but now it's over half of all the teams are working some mental training. And, you know, you see more of that happening at a lot of universities. A friend of mine at Penn State, he works there. A lot of universities now hire people to work with their teams. It may not always be full-time. It may be as a consultant.
Are there any at MSU? Do you know?
Yeah, a lot of – we don't have a full-time person, but a lot of our graduate students work with some of the teams, like in tennis, swimming, some of the Olympic sports.
Gotcha. Wow, very interesting. So where do you see this field of sports psychology possibly growing or going to in the future, Dan?
First, we've been on a positive trajectory, and I expect that to continue. I think athletes are more accepting of it. People realize that, you know, we've did studies of Olympic success. To be a successful Olympic, you need the whole package. You need to be physically there, technically there, but you also need to control your mental state on a big stage. So I think there's more and more opportunities. At the same time, it's kind of a weird paradox right now because there's a lot of opportunities. But we're not to the stage where there's tons of full-time jobs, you know, where teams are hiring one consultant. So people who want to go in the applied end, sometimes they work in universities and, you know, do like outreach and engagement. Mm-hmm. Some athletic departments are hiring people. You know, I know Georgia does. And, you know, sometimes it's a coach, but there's more and more departments. All the military academies, one of our alums, she works at West Point mm-hmm. with the athletes there. So those jobs are growing. I think it's a growing field. At the same time, it's not for the faint of heart. Like, you take this and you're automatically going to get a job where you want to. You got to right. hustle and you got to understand.
Time.
Yes.
It's a grind. It certainly mm-hmm. is a grind. Now, Dan, for those out there who have more questions or wanting to get involved with the field of sports psychology, how can they get in contact with you or just the field in general?
Yeah, two things. Contact me at Michigan State, drgould@msu.edu. We also have an association, the Association for Applied Sports Psychology, and if they Google that, Association for Applied Sports Psychology, you can download some resources, tells you how to get in the field. Mm-hmm. We have a national conference. It's really student-friendly, so I always recommend if a student can pull it off to go there, and there's actually a graduate program fair there that they can go to, but they really get a feel because you can read about it, but if you kind of see people talking about their work,
right,
it's a good way. But so that would be another one.
And what's the name of your course that you teach up here?
I teach a number of courses. Probably the undergrad course. I don't always teach it directly. Some of our doctoral students do, but it's Foundations of Sport and Exercise Psychology.
There you have it, folks. Daniel Gould, he is a Michigan State professor in the area of sports psychology. Dan, thanks so much. Really appreciate your time here on Current Sports.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right. Well, when we return to Current Sports, we'll dive into our Current Sports section of the show. We'll remind you all we'll be taking your calls right after the break. Don't hesitate. Pick up that phone. Dial 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on anything. Want to hear what's on your mind? More Current Sports is coming right up.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, Anthony Weiner, Elliot Spitzer, two New York politicians with a lot of baggage. What are voters thinking? Also, Doctor Who fans get the news they've been waiting for about the latest incarnation of the otherworldly adventurer. That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
Seven days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Hey, good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all the latest sporting news concerning the good people of Mid-Michigan. I want to remind you all, I'll be taking your calls right now, 517-355-9527. We just finished with talking with Daniel Gould. He is a professor at Michigan State University in the area of sports psychology. Thanks so much, Dan, for being a part of the show. Very interesting stuff. So, diving into current sports, we want to let you know, some breaking news has just come through, ladies and gents. MLB has suspended 12 players, 50 game suspensions for these 12 players, for their roles in the Biogenesis MLB case. Now, this is being reported by FoxSports.com. It has just come through, ladies and gents. And again, these players are serving 50 game suspensions for their role in the whole Biogenesis investigation in the MLB. And guess what? We saw this coming. One of those players is, yes, Detroit Tiger Johnny Peralta. So just to give those that list of names, some of them, Nelson Cruz with the Rangers, of course, Johnny Peralta, Antonio Bastardo, Johnny Valdespin, Francisco Cervelli. I mean, I could go on and on, but Sergio Escalana, Fernando Martinez of the Yankees. I mean, it's 12 of them, so if you Google it, it's right there. But yes, Johnny Peralta, we all saw this coming. He will now serve a 50-game suspension for his role in the Biogenesis case. We want to get your thoughts on this. If you got any comment on this, again, 517-355-9527. 12 MLB players, breaking news, 12 MLB players have been suspended 50 games for their role in the Biogenesis case. So we know now also when looking at these 50-game suspensions and the names listed on here, I want to let you all know that, no, Alex Rodriguez is not on that list. He will most likely, more than likely, serve a harsher penalty than 50 games. So bye-bye Johnny Peralta. I got to see him in his last game possibly with the Tigers yesterday against the White Sox. To update you on the Tigers, now going to the Tigers, Torii Hunter hit a line drive to left center field in the 12th inning yesterday against the Chicago White Sox to give the Tigers a 3-2 victory. Now Detroit is on a winning streak of 8 games, and now Chicago's losing streak is 10. Now Torii was actually out of the starting lineup, but he entered in the 10th with the game tied. A vital factor. Great move by Jim Leland there. Miguel Cabrera, who's been dealing with that hip and abdominal problems, he had led off the Detroit 12th with a pinch hit single. Really clutch there. I mean, you could tell when he came into the game, too, on the side that, you know, he was really bothered, still bothered with that whole abdominal problem. But he came in a very clutch hit to get on base. Matt Tuiasosopo, he ran for him and went to second on a sacrifice bunt by Austin Jackson. The Tigers now have won 12 of 13 and take a 3-game lead in the AL Central into a 4-game series against, yes, the second-place Cleveland Indians. That's going to be a very crucial series. Now, the White Sox have lost 10 straight for the first time in June of 1976, and I am told right now that we actually have a caller. Tom is on line one. Todd, welcome to Current Sports.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing well. It's a nice day. I guess I have a question, and it's probably a fairly abstract question. Obviously, everyone right now is talking about the list of 12 baseball players who are going to get suspended today or in the immediate future. But according to my understanding, this list has NBA players, NFL players, and athletes in all other kinds of sports. Do these other sports just either not care, or, I mean, why? I mean, I'm all for these guys, you know, being suspended. They're cheat, you know, in my mind, they're cheaters, and I don't want cheaters on my team. I don't want to win with cheaters, and I don't need them in my sport. But how come the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, tennis, and all these other sports have just decided that, I guess, they either don't care about their athletes using drugs, or, I mean, what? And I know that Major League Baseball isn't always the bastion of integrity or morality in this country, but again, have these other sports decided that if you want to use PEDs in their sports, that that's just fine? Why are they just kind of walking away from this and maybe not taking heat for enforcing some of their drug policies? And Major League Baseball seems to be the only league stepping up and doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely would talk about that. Hey, Ty, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. And that's a very good point. I think right now, right now the name's just been released as far as the MLB is concerned. I'm not sure. Now, we all know, because we reported this on Current Sports a few weeks ago, that no, this list does not just include MLB players. It includes NBA players. It includes MLB players. Heck, it even includes teenagers. Yes, teenagers. On Friday, we were told the teenagers are actually taking a visit to Tony Bosch's clinic and actually getting steroids. So we know that there are many other names on that list that really have nothing to do with the MLB. And right now, I believe that the MLB names are being released now because the MLB itself, the organization itself, has been leading the investigation with the whole Tony Bosch situation. I don't know if the NBA is involved, if the NFL is involved and has started their investigation, but we do know names from those two organizations and possibly others. I mean, UFC was involved with it as well. Some UFC names are on it. I don't know if those organizations have come out and started their own investigation. But right now, I really can't speak on that topic because I really don't know the full information. Again, this is breaking news, but I totally agree. I totally agree that if, you know, those NBA players and NFL players whose names are on that list, if they are on that list, those organizations like the NFL and NBA and the rest of them, they should definitely do something. But right now, all we know is that the MLB has 12 names and has handed down suspensions. But I totally agree. Totally agree with you that there should definitely be some done by the MLB, NBA, UFC, and or the other organizations on that list. But that's all we know right now. I'd have to read a little bit more and look more into it. But yeah. But again, Johnny Peralta, 50-game suspensions for him. I mean, there are many names, 11 other names on that list that have been handed, 12 of them that have been handed 50-game suspensions. All right, again, the Tigers, they beat the White Sox. They now will play the Cleveland Indians, second-place Cleveland Indians starting tonight. Anibal Sanchez, he will be on the mound tonight against Corey Kluber. So check out that series. Should be a very fun one, to say the least. And Football Media Day, MSU Football Media Day, is taking place today. Current Sports will definitely be there. Mark D'Antonio, I'm going to be a little late because Mark is talking at 2 o'clock. And then after then, the offense and defense, they will be available. But MSU Football Media Day is taking place today. And also, concerning the MSU football team, the Spartans have found their recruiting coordinator. Yes, it is official. We all knew this. Curtis Blackwell, he was hired Friday officially. Blackwell was a four-year letter winner, defensive back for the Division AA Hampton University football team. He is also has coaching experience at Detroit's MLK High School. That's the same high school my brother went to. Wow. And Detroit McKenzie High School. So he's coached football there. He's most known for leading the Sound Mind, Sound Body football camp held annually at Southfield High School with more than 800 high school athletes and about 15 Division I coaches. D'Antonio has high praises for Blackwell, saying, quote, Curtis Blackwell brings a wealth of contacts to his position through his work with the state's High School Coaches Association, national 7-on-7 camps, youth football programs, and so on and so on. D'Antonio is very pleased with this hire, and it surely hopes to boost recruiting in the coming years. Tiger Woods wins the Bridgestone Invitational for the 8th time in his career. He owns this course. Tiger Woods just rolled. Whenever the Bridgestone, WGC Bridgestone Invitational is going on, you know Tiger Woods is going to bring it, and you got to be ready. But he wins for the 8th time in his career on this course. He finished with a 7-stroke lead over Keegan Bradley and Henrik Stenson. However, Tiger 61 on Friday gained him a huge lead. 61, yes, a 61, and he had a few chances to really go a lot under than that, way under than that. I mean, unbelievable. 61, that's just sick and unheard of. But 61 on Friday gained him a huge lead and secured the win in advance. The win also puts him at 5-plus wins on the PGA this season. This is the 10th time Tiger has won 5-plus events in a given season. The next closest is Sam Snead with 8 seasons. Now, Woods also closed up a gap on Snead for the all-time PGA Tour wins. He now trails Snead's 82 by only 3. Tiger's at 79. He now prepares for the PGA Championship next week. The last time he won was, yes, back in 2008. We all know Tiger Woods I won't officially say that Tiger Woods is back until he wins a major. We all know that, but he is certainly looking good right now. But, you know, again, the critics out there, including me, because I was one of those guys that, you know, Tiger would win just a regular tournament and say, oh, he's back, and then he goes to a major and completely bombs it. So he's still searching for his first major win since 2008, and, you know, we'll see how he fares in the PGA Championship next week. That should be a very interesting one. Now, Johnny Football, the man cannot stay out of the paper. Man, this is just getting ridiculous now. Just ridiculous. ESPN's Outside the Lines, they reported that the NCAA is investigating whether the Heisman Trophy winner was paid for signing hundreds of autographs in January. Now, two sources have said that the quarterback agreed to sign memorabilia in exchange for a five-figure flat fee during his trip to Miami for the Discover BCS National Championship. While both sources say they missed the signing, neither witnessed any money exchanging, but the autographs are linked to autograph broker Drew Timon, who approached Manziel in the days leading up to the national championship game in Miami. Now, if Manziel is found to have violated the NCAA bylaw for accepting money for promoting or advertising the commercial sale of product or service, he could be ruled ineligible. This could be huge, ladies and gents. Now, both Johnny and Timon couldn't be reached for comment, but for now, Texas A&M is standing behind their QB, releasing a statement that says, quote, Johnny has indicated on numerous occasions and once again earlier today that he has never, and to his knowledge, his parents, other relatives, and friends have ever been compensated through cash or other benefits or promises of deferred compensation for providing his autograph. That was David Batson's statement, Texas A&M's compliance director, stating on the matter, weighing in on Johnny's matter. So we will see if he is. It's like, Johnny, first of all, he misses the Manning camp. And then, you know, before that, it was the old Twitter fiasco. And now it's this. It's like, come on, man. What are you doing, Johnny? All right, moving on. Casey Kane, he passed teammate Jeff Gordon and pulled away with two laps remaining to win the Pinaco 400. The victory is Kane's second of the season and more than likely secures a spot in the chase for the Sprint Cup Championship. Gordon passed Kane late and seemed like he had wrapped up things, but a caution flag with a few laps to go gave Kane one last chance to take the checker flag, and he took advantage. So, Kane wins at Pocono. Congrats to Casey Kane. He is the man right now. And also want to note that Riley Cooper, after video of him making racial slurs went viral last week, and we had a huge discussion about it here on the show, it has been revealed that Riley has been receiving some threatening messages online, which, no surprise, dear. I figured that would happen. The team says Sunday that Riley informed the club of threats and did not know who made them. The team has notified the league security department. Cooper was fined by the Eagles after his slur became known Wednesday, and he left the team on Friday to seek counseling. So he's been receiving a lot of hate tweets and messages. But no surprise there. I mean, he went out and said a racial slur, was caught on camera doing it, and what do you expect? So also want to note that this is really, really, really cool story here. We've heard a lot of terrible stories lately, from Riley Cooper to the whole Biogenesis investigation now. So it's really refreshing when a story like this comes along to put a smile on your face and brighten your day. All right, Seattle Mariners third baseman Kyle Seager, less than 2 weeks after the day his bat flew into the stands in Houston during an at-bat, was written a heartfelt letter from the young boy who the bat landed on, and he wished Seager well. The boy named Lyle, he was unhurt and he sent the bat back to Seager. And now, normally anybody who's hit with a bat in Major League game, they'd keep the bat and, you know, call it a day. But he actually sent the bat back to Seager, whose 15-game hitting streak had ended in the second game of the three-game series. And in the letter, he wrote this. This is really cute, man. We're going to post this on our Facebook page. This made my day here. He says, quote, "My name is Lyle Raymond. Your bat landed on me. I am okay." That's great, first of all. That's a great intro. Your bat landed on me, but I'm okay. Thanks for giving me the thumbs up when you were on first base. I like the Astros. I love the Astros, but we'll cheer you on too. I gave your bat back because you had a big hitting streak with that bat. I hope you had more hits with that bat. Your fan, Lyle. That was so touching. Did you cry in the car when I just read that? That was great. That's great stuff. That's a really cool story. The kid gets hit with the bat in the stands and decides to write Seager that really, really heartfelt message. I hope that just warmed your day. We have more warming, touching stuff coming back on Current Sports. That's DeAndre Carter. That's right, DeAndre Carter, motivational speaker. DeAndre Carter, he is coming into the studio right now to motivate someone very special. You know who that special someone is? Well, you're going to find out right after the break who that special someone is. You do not want to miss this segment. Motivational Mondays with DeAndre Carter is coming right at you. Stay tuned. More Current Sports is next.
When you watch a breathtaking performance by an athlete, do you ever wonder how much of that talent is genetic and how much comes from hard work and practice? On the next Fresh Air, journalist David Epstein tells us what scientists are learning about genetics and athletic performance. Some of it will surprise you. His book is The Sports Gene. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
All right, ladies and gents, well, we have to move on to our last segment of Current Sports. We invite motivational speaker DeAndre Carter to join us for our very first Motivational Monday. Keep it locked right here because we are about to kick this thing off. I'm really pleased to start this special segment with a man who has been motivating people from all over the country for years. He works for the Undergraduate University Division here at Michigan State, while also serving as a motivational speaker. He was one of my mentors throughout my time at Michigan State University. Really motivated me when I didn't want to do my homework and just wanted to sleep in on class. He definitely motivated me, I tell you that. I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for this man. And we invite him on the show for our very first Motivational Monday segment with DeAndre Carter. Before you do your thing, DC, give the people a little background about yourself.
Al, thanks for having me, man. First, I definitely want to take the opportunity to say thank you. I'm both honored and humbled by just being on the show. I appreciate you being you. You not only have I inspired people, but you've been inspiring people through your actions and through your efforts. A little bit about me. First, I'm a diehard sports fan. I'm from Detroit, Michigan.
Yes, he is, people.
Yes. In fact, that's how, you know, one guy just asked how we meet. We met because, unfortunately, you're a Cowboys fan, and I'm a Steelers fan. So, you know, we connect on that. So, going back to Detroit, though, the 84 Tigers, the Detroit Bad Boys, you know, the Barry Sanders Lions, just a huge sports fan. I've always loved and appreciated sports, participated and learned lessons from sports. And that's probably one of the first places where I receive inspiration, because in sports you get to see people give it their all and be compensated for it on a world stage.
So true. So true, DC. And talk about some of the endeavors you got going right now, because not only do you work for the university and motivate people, you also have a book out, right?
Yeah, well, it's coming out. Excited on this Thursday, August 8th. I've made a promise to the world that the rough draft will be done. So I'm very excited about that. The title of the book is Demand Greatness, Four Keys to Create Success from Your Struggle. So I'm going to just share with people about the phases that you go through in life, because success is definitely not a straight line. It's a lot of curves and turns and ups and downs. And so I'll talk about what you need to do to conquer each phase of the fight in life. And I'm very excited about that. So definitely have that coming up. Definitely pushing on the motivational speaking and training. I have tomorrow in Detroit, I'll be going down to train some people on enhancing their public speaking skills. I've been here with the university for 8 years as an advisor, been teaching and instructing leadership classes and academic classes for 7 years. So really have been pouring time into helping others, and this is what I feel like I'm called to do. I'm called to inspire people, called to help other people to be their very, very best. And that's what me and my daughter like to call greatness.
That is greatness. And DC, I know you've talked to various sports teams as well. I think I saw a picture, and we actually had Matthew Brown on the show. You talked to the Lansing Cowboys, I believe, right?
Yes, I did. I had that opportunity this summer, and it was fantastic, because you're talking to the 11 and 12-year-old young men who have a look in their eyes that they want to be great at something. They want to be the best at something. And football is a tool. Football is an opportunity to display that. And we just encourage them to develop a strong work ethic through football, through sports, because you have to work like your life is on the line, because it is, because the work ethic you create today is going to pour over into your future and create your life. So you have to work like your life is on the line, because it is.
So true. All right. So, ladies and gents, let's let DC do his thing. So with this segment, we aim to have a lot of fun with it. Every week, on Mondays, DeAndre will hit the air and address a specific sports topic and try to provide some motivation in that topical area. For example, a speech on how to mentor Johnny Manziel on staying out of trouble, or how to motivate golfer Rory McIlroy to get him out of his crazy slump that he's currently in. As you see, the possibilities are endless, and we encourage all of you out there to be a part of it. We are giving you an opportunity to submit an idea that you have that you would like to see DeAndre motivate when it comes to an athlete, a fan base, or any other area. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet me at AlMartinWKAR, or email me at AlMartin@WKAR.org, or even hit DeAndre up. We will send his contact information after he does his thing. So, but for today's very special Motivational Monday, he's going to motivate a very special group of people, the current sports listeners. That's right, all of you out there. All of you out there who need some motivation starting your week, it is Monday, and you want to kick it off right, DeAndre is going to motivate you in the form of a locker room speech. Hey, Coach Carter, take it away.
Every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up knowing one thing. It knows that it must run faster than the fastest lion, or on that day, it will be killed. Every morning a lion wakes up in that very same jungle, also knowing one thing. It knows that it must outrun the slowest gazelle, or it may starve to death. It doesn't matter whether you are a lion or a gazelle. When the sun comes up, you had better be running. I'm here to let you know that that quote has motivated me for years, motivated me to escape the challenges of inner city Detroit, motivated me to become a first generation college graduate from this phenomenal university, Michigan State, motivated me to become an author, a speaker, and an entrepreneur. But today I'm here to let you know that it does matter whether you're the lion or the gazelle. Because the thing about the gazelle is that it only runs when there's a problem. It only runs away from challenges. It only runs when it seeks or senses danger. But the lion runs toward its goals, towards its desires. It's running after what it wants in life. And it's running with a focus, not with a fear. So we are here on Current Sports with Al Martin. So I'd be remiss if I didn't bring in a sports figure who illustrates this perfectly. Enter Kobe Bean Bryant. See, in my mind, in my opinion, Kobe is the epitome of a lion. He's always had focus. He's always known what he wants. He's never running from the moment, but running toward the moment. One of his greatest teammates, hands down his greatest teammate, Shaquille O'Neal, was quoted as saying, a young Kobe Bryant, at the age of 18, already had his prey in its sight. He wanted more championships than any other Laker. He wanted to score more points than any other Laker. And the one he didn't let out for a while is he wanted to go down as the greatest ever. See, Kobe was always on the hunt for greatness, always looking to be the absolute best that he could be, pushing himself day after day, practice after practice, training after training. I challenge you to think about it. How many times has Kobe Bryant attempted a jump shot? It's countless times. But the great thing about being a lion is that you don't always catch your prey. You don't always make every right move. In fact, while Kobe was hunting for greatness in the playoffs, he ran up against the Utah Jazz, his rookie year. And after shooting airball after airball after airball, Kobe still rose with the hunt for greatness in mind, knowing that he had to go back to the gym, work on his game, add muscle, add more to his game so that one day he would not only get those moments, but maximize those moments. So he had moments like the 2008 Olympics when everything was on the line. This was the redeem team. This was the team that was supposed to bring gold back to America. This team was in a dogfight. They were only up 2 points. Argentina had closed the gap. You see, in moments in life, you're going to have opportunities. If you're an attorney, you're going to go into trial. If you're a salesperson, you're going to go to give that pitch. If you're a manager, you're going to go to the meeting. If you're a student, you're going to go to the exam. And in those moments, many people will look around wondering what's about to happen. That's the mentality of a gazelle. But I'm telling you, in that huddle, Coach K knew he had a lion when he had Kobe. Because Kobe wasn't wondering what's about to happen. He was wondering, or he was saying, I'm about to happen. So in the next 4, 5, 6 possessions, he either assisted or scored. And it all crescendoed when he had a 3-point play, got fouled, and had to let the audience know, it's over. It's time. So when you get your opportunity, what are you going to do? You got to seize it like the lion. So I leave you with these words. These words that I know will inspire you for the upcoming days. It says simply, I am the lion, not the gazelle. I run toward my dreams, not away from my fears. I am driven by my inner desires, not my outward threats. I am focused forward, not looking backward. And like a true lion, I understand the value of team. Gazelles run as individuals who happen to be around each other, but lions work as a team to feed the pack. This day and every day, wake up on the hunt and be hungry for greatness.
Yes. Are you motivated? Did you almost just crash your car? Just feeling that adrenaline just run through you? I mean, oh my goodness. I'm certainly motivated after hearing that. Again, that is DeAndre Carter, motivational speaker, right here with Motivational Mondays, our very first Motivational Mondays with DeAndre Carter. DeAndre, you the man.
I just appreciate the opportunity. Every day.
You are going to be here each and every Monday motivating. Again, this first one was for you guys. This is for you guys to go out there and attack life and attack this week with a fervor. You know, you got to go out there and just really go out there and attack it with some passion. And hopefully that, you know, DeAndre really motivated all of you out there to do that. And again, Motivational Mondays with DeAndre Carter. How can people get in touch with you, DeAndre?
Oh, I can be reached by Facebook or Twitter. You can reach me on Facebook at DeAndre Carter. That is D-E, capital A-N-D-R-E, or as I like to say, Andre, like the giant, and then D-E in front of it. And then you can also reach me on Twitter at DC Inspires. That's my Twitter handle. And we are looking to do lesson sessions, so we send out quotes. We're looking to inspire people on a daily basis to be their absolute best.
Gotcha. There you have it, DeAndre Carter. Again, this is only segment one, DeAndre Carter, Motivational Mondays with DeAndre Carter. Again, with this segment, we're going to be picking out a topic from here on out, sports topic, where You know, DeAndre can motivate that individual. Again, some of the examples, I'm just throwing out just crazy examples right now. You know, how to motivate Rory McIlroy, who's having a bad, bad stint right now in the game of golf. Or how to motivate Pistons fans out there who are finally feeling some type of, you know, rejoice after the revamped team. You know, any topic, anything that you guys want to hear DeAndre motivate someone on, just let us know. You just heard how you can get in touch with him. Again, our Facebook page is facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet me, AlMartinWKAR, or email me at AlMartinWKAR.org. So how are your Steelers looking really quick before we get off the air, man? You excited?
I'm very excited. Coach Tomlin said we're not having good practices, we're having great practices, and the defense just won the goal line drills last week 4-2, so I know that
wow,
we're
you know
up.
Everything. You know
ready.
Every little detail about
yes,
this team.
That's I am Steeler Nation.
And you're, I see that. I definitely see that. So, and you're born and raised in Detroit. Now, are you a Lions fan as well? How's the dynamic work?
I am a Lions fan. The dynamic work really simple. I grew up with two brothers, and we had to compete in everything. So all three of us could not like all the Detroit teams without having some other teams to compete against. So one of my brothers chose the Vikings. I don't know why, but he's a Vikings fan. I chose the Steelers, and then our other brother, we joke, he bandwagon, he jumps from whichever team is hot. So right now he's a Packers fan, and so I chose the Steelers, Rod Woodson, favorite all-time athlete, mm-hmm. and decided to ride with them back in 89. So this wasn't during their glory years, but eventually great times came.
And what about hoops? You following hoops?
NBA. I'm a Kobe Bryant fan, as you can tell.
Definitely see that.
Which Kobe
is a great
fan.
Message. Great message right there, DC.
Yeah, I love seeing that guy work. He's amazing.
Yeah, he definitely is. And you know, well, definitely welcome to Current Sports. Welcome to the team.
Thank you for
having
me.
Hey,
it's an honor.
Hey, it's an honor to have you sitting right here, man. Again,
I'm looking forward to seeing what the listeners are going to put out. Me and my team will have our eyes out to see what kind of stories they want to hear.
Yeah.
I hope that everyone liked the sample that we dropped today, and then we're looking to bring more hot and heavy topics moving forward.
Yes, definitely. Just a little taste for you guys. All right, well, what a show. We had Daniel Gould, MSU professor in the world of sports psychology. Join me at the top of the hour. He was great. Again, this whole biogenesis thing is crazy. The MLB has suspended 12 right now. 50-game suspensions. 12 players on that list, including, yes, Detroit Tigers shortstop Johnny Peralta. We all saw it coming. All right, before we leave you, special thanks, first of all, to all of you out there for listening. And special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Sharg and Matt Lufke, production assistants. Intern, Mike Corey, engineer, Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKR. Thanks to DC again, Daniel Gould. They were great. Again, have a fantastic day. I got to head over to MSU Big Ten Football Media Days now. It's always a grind, ladies and gentlemen. Again, you can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Hey, take care, and as always, be easy, people.